Come on, isn't the Lord good this morning? Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Come on, church, we can do better than that. I said, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Mark chapter 2. For those of you who don't know, my wife, she's a Patriots fan. Don't hold it against her. She was born in Texas, hallelujah. But she was raised in New England, and so she's a Patriots fan. I'm a Texas kid myself, and so I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Don't hold that against me. And I said last week, my Dallas Cowboys are undefeated. I'm optimistic, you know. And they haven't played yet. It's true, but they're undefeated. And just let me enjoy it while it lasts. It might not last long. But she's a Patriots fan. I've been trying to get her saved for about 15 years now. I've been trying to convert her from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and it hasn't happened yet. You know, and she said, I'm going there now. So last week, I made the joke about the Chiefs. The Chiefs are Super Bowl favorites, and they are. Come on, let's pray for them today in Jesus' name. Hey, by the way, how many of you came to the early service so you can make it home for kickoff? Come on, let me see your hand. Those are my people right there. You're my people right there. I'll be here preaching, but I'll have a little earpiece. The game will start at noon. The second service when the Chiefs play at noon is going to be the shorter service of the two, so you just take that into consideration. But so I was joking about that, and I said they're going to the Super Bowl after defeating the Patriots and the Antichrist, Bill Belichick, and the man of lawlessness known as Tom Brady. And I got home in the afternoon, and my wife was like, you know, T, great job, but maybe you shouldn't use the Bill Belichick Antichrist, you know, reference anymore, you know. And I've been thinking and praying, and I realize I really do need to apologize to the Antichrist for comparing him to Bill Belichick. That's just not fair. Whoever that person is, that's just not fair to compare them to Bill Belichick. All right, Mark chapter 2. We're continuing this morning in our series, Friends for Life. And you'll see we're drawing your attention to life groups. The season is called Rally Weeks, and you see the people wearing the shirts that are storm blue. They kind of turned out purple, you know, but they're storm blue is what we ordered. And you see those folks wearing those, and those are life group leaders. Those are folks who are opening up their homes, opening up their offices, meeting here at the church, gathering people for the purposes of ministering to one another, building and strengthening relationships, discipling and equipping one another to grow in our faith and to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ as we grow closer together. That's the heart of life groups. And listen, it's more than just an idea or a church strategy. It's the Bible. And in the book of Acts, all throughout it says, in the temple, in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 16, I believe, in the temple and house to house, the believers met and they shared their lives with one another. And the Bible says that the church was growing rapidly as they were living this out in that way, gathering together in corporate gatherings like this. Come on, how many know there's something powerful when we gather together like this and worship the way we just worshiped all together with one voice? The Bible says if where two or three are gathered together, he's there. How much more when several hundred of us gather together and we're going hard after Jesus and we're worshiping him and we're exalting him? And so they were living that out, gathering together in corporate gatherings and then sharing their lives together throughout the week. That's the pattern. That's the heart. That's the reason behind life groups. And so you'll find in the seat back in front of you there a list of all the groups that are launching this week. And on Wednesday night, there's youth ministry and there's children's ministry here at the church. Our heart and our idea is for the whole family to have an opportunity during the week to come and get connected and grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. There's other groups that meet at other times throughout the week. And here's the thing. We understand there's no pressure to get involved in a group, just an invitation. And I'm telling you, if you'll make a quality decision in your own life, in your own marriage, in your own family, in your own schedule, to just in a new way prioritize God and prioritize growing and investing and building your personal faith and growing and investing friendships and relationships with other believers who are going hard after God and his call and his plan and his purpose for our life, I promise you, you will never regret it. But there's no pressure, there's no obligation, just an invitation to come and just see what God might do through those relationships and through those times. There's something powerful that happens when we gather together and worship corporately like this, but there's something equally powerful sometimes that can only happen when we gather together in smaller groups of believers and have more of an opportunity to share our story and more of an opportunity to share our struggle and more of an opportunity to, for you guys to see your gifts and your testimony be used of God to bring life and healing and freedom to others around you. So that's the heart of Rally Weeks. That's the heart of this series, Friends for Life. But more than just trying to get you to come to life groups, our heart is really to help you to understand the power of relationship and to also extend an invitation to those of you who maybe are just not fully engaged in what God is doing in this place and in this season and in our town and in our region to come and begin to discover what it looks like to lean in and to engage and to link arms with us and to begin to trust God together and to begin to seek God together and to begin to believe big for what God can do and desires to do in us and through us in this hour. So would you please just open your heart? In fact, let's pray this morning. Lord, would you open our hearts to receive what you have to say, God, to us? We thank you, Lord, that your heart is for us to experience and enjoy the blessing that comes from fellowship, from community, from family, from relationship, first with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then with others, Lord, as we gather together and strengthen one another, as we celebrate when we're celebrating and we mourn with those who are mourning, and we minister to those who are weak or weary or wounded, and we speak the word of God and we strengthen one another in the faith and we share our testimonies and our stories of your hand upon our lives, Lord, so that your church and your kingdom will advance in our lives, in this church, in this city, in our region, and all throughout this nation, in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning, God, I pray that you would come and that you would touch hearts, God. I pray, Lord, that anyone who's here this morning who feels isolated, Lord, I pray that anyone here this morning who has felt the pain of rejection or has bought into any kind of a lie from the enemy, that they are not valued and wanted, that they are not meaningful and significant, Lord, I pray that in this season, you would come in only the way that you can do, and you would heal hearts and mend hearts and prepare us as your people, Lord, to experience everything, the fullness, Lord, nothing short of the very best that you have, Lord, in your heart for every one of us. As your people, your children, your men, your women, your sons, your daughters, your young people, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And come on, all of God's precious and mighty people said, amen, 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 amen. Listen, you were created for relationship. It's the heart of the gospel. It's the reason God so loved the world that he sent his son. He wasn't trying to build an organization. He wasn't trying to build a denomination. He was after a restored relationship with you. It's the reason that he sent Jesus. It's the heart of the gospel. We were created for. And the heart of the gospel is relationship restored with the Heavenly Father who has a good plan and a good future in his heart and in store for you. And we're created for relationship with God and with one another. And last week I reminded us in Genesis chapter 2, Adam enjoyed perfect fellowship, perfect communion with God the Father, unhindered and unaffected by the weight of sin and the guilt and the shame and the condemnation that sin would bring into the world, that would create that isolation or separation between God and man. And even while Adam was enjoying and experiencing that kind of fellowship and communion with God the Father, again, unhindered by sin, what did God say? It is not good for him to be alone. We were created for a relationship, yes, with God. But right from the start, we were created by design, intentionality. It's God's plan. We were created and called to live in community, to experience what it means to live in spiritual family, to live as brothers and sisters, to not become isolated. It's God's plan. And while we enter into God's kingdom through a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, hear me on that. Much of what God calls us then to experience and express in God's kingdom is experienced through community, is experienced through relationship, is experienced through family. Again, hear me. We're called to have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only by a personal encounter. I mean, no one can do it for you. Only you can place your faith, can have your heart turned towards God by His Spirit to declare, to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And it's through that personal declaration and that personal confession and that personal commitment that you are saved and brought into the family of God. But from that point forward, much of what God intends for us, again, to express and to experience, to give and to receive, is expressed through relationship. Think about it. Matthew 18, 19 through 20. Just recapping a little bit here. It says, where two or three of you on earth agree about anything that they may ask, it's done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I'm in their midst. Matthew 6, verse 9. Come on, would you guys put this up, the Lord's Prayer? And I just feel like we ought to just maybe pray this together this morning. So come on, let's just say this together this morning. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver who? Us from the evil one. One more slide. Is there one more slide? Is that it? Oh. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Can you see that? Jesus was teaching us how to pray, and he said, you don't say, Lord, give me, protect me, guide me, lead me. He said, us, we, much of what we're intended to express and experience in God's kingdom is expressed through relationship. Some of the strongest virtues of Christ-like character can only be expressed through relationship. There's got to be someone on the receiving end of love. There's got to be someone on the receiving end of mercy. There's got to be someone on the receiving end of forgiveness. There's got to be someone on the receiving end of patience. God's called us to relationship, and He has a way of calling us to things that require us to become fully dependent upon Him. Come on, marriage requires you to become fully dependent upon Him. Raising your children requires you to become fully dependent upon Him. Come on, interacting with other people who are coming from all kinds of walks of life and different backgrounds and different cultures in the house of God requires us to become completely dependent upon Him. We were created for relationship. But I encourage you guys with this often, anywhere where there's power, where there's potential, or where there's promise in God's kingdom for you, for your marriage, for your family, you better expect that the enemy is gonna come and oppose. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that he's the accuser of the brethren. And the enemy's goal is destruction, right? John 10:10 says that the thief comes, the enemy comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest, life abundantly. But the enemy is on a pathway to destruction. His goal is destruction and his strategy is division. If he can isolate you, what does the Bible say? In Peter, he goes around the enemy that is like a roaring lion, doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. And Pastor Eddie touched on it a few weeks ago, but think about it. You've seen those shows on National Geographic. Those lions are smart. They look for the one who is lingering. They look for the one who is hurting. They look for the one who is isolated from the herd. He's going around like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. You cannot afford to become isolated from the people of God. And if you found yourself in that place or you find yourself today, maybe you're here this morning because you're trying to break out of that previous season of isolation. The heart of God is for you to find protection and provision through relationship. Think about it. God, when God does something in your life, how many of us can agree He deserves all the glory? All the glory. Anytime He does something in your life, provides for you, protects you, promotes you. Anytime He does something in your life, come on, the Lord Jesus Christ deserves all the glory. But He almost always uses a person. He almost always partners with a person. When He wants to release provision into your life, He almost always partners with a person. Come on, I don't know if anyone's ever received a check in the mail signed by Jehovah Jireh. He almost always partners with people, and He's looking to partner with you. We need people in our lives. We can't afford to get isolated. The enemy's going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for those who are isolated. There's protection. There's provision. And when you get around the right people, there's strategic people that God will bring into your life. We're going to look at it this morning a little bit deeper, a little bit closer. There's promotion that can come from getting around the right people in your life. Listen, something powerful happens when the way that we begin to live out our faith begins to shift from me to we. When we move beyond, we see God's done something. I have a personal relationship. He is my personal Savior, but now he's called me to live my life in a way that impacts and blesses the lives of others around me. He's called me to be connected to other people so that when I struggle, so that when I stumble, there are people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God who are right there ready to come alongside me and say, you're going to make it. Keep moving. Let me tell you how God moved in my life and let me help you to get there. What can we do? That's the kind of thing. Something powerful. Listen, something powerful happens when the way we live out and express our faith begins to move from me to we. All right, are you there in Mark chapter 2? We read this last week. We're going to stay there this morning and just continue to just unpack some truths out of this. Again, to strengthen and equip us, to call us and to prepare us to either step into or to, in a deeper way, experience and enjoy the fullness of what God designed and intends for us to experience through relationship. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Are you there? It says this, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Jesus was preaching the word of God to them. And they came to him and bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, come on, some of you need some people in your life that will help you to break through to a new level and a new place in God. When they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Their faith resulted in his breakthrough. That's the kind of friends that we need, and that's the kind of friends that God's called us to be. And it says, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes are sitting there reasoning in their hearts. And why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven to you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we ain't never seen anything like this. That's the way they say it in Texas. Come on, someone ought to say amen. Amen. These are the kind of friends that we're going to need and that we're all called to be. And the paralytic represents something in us, an area where we become stuck. An area where God's called us to be on the move, an area of activity that God's called us to where we become stuck. Every one of us in some area of our life is going to experience a season like that. Most times in life, you've got some areas where you're moving and you're flourishing and you're thriving and God's blessing you, and you've got another area. Come on, you can be blessed in one area of your life and struggling in another area. You can be blessed financially in this area of your life and be struggling in your marriage. You can be blessed in your finances and be struggling in your health. There's some area in our life where we can become stuck, and we're going to need people of faith to come around us and carry us into the presence of Jesus to help us to become healed. You need the right people. Here's what I want to unpack from this morning. You need the right people. You need the right plan. And you need to be in the right place. Come on, who's ever in your life been at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people? Come on, let me see your hands. Is it just me? Come on. Just a few honest people in here. Who's ever found themselves at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people? God's heart is for us to begin by wisdom and by grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit to begin connecting to the right people who will help us to discover the right plan for our life, for our marriage, for our family, for our finances, for our future, and begin to plant ourselves, to begin to place our feet in the right place. The right people. Proverbs 12:26 says that this is important. It says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of wicked leads them astray. 1 Corinthians 15:33 reiterates this and says, do not be deceived. And anytime God's word says that, it's because there's an opportunity that we could actually begin to believe this, that we can handle those kind of ungodly relationships and ungodly friendships, and we can continue to live for God in the midst of trying to kind of walk both sides of the fence. And he says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Come on, how many of you have experienced this in your life when you look back and you see that the company that you keep matters? And you see that you can't afford to be in the wrong place with the wrong people at the wrong time. This is a season where God's calling you out of that trap and out of that maybe previous pattern. And he's calling you in this season to begin in a new way, in a fresh way, to commit yourself, to resolve in your heart. In this season, I'm going to connect to the people of God. I'm going to plant myself in the house of God. And I'm going to position myself in the presence of God every day. In God's word, on my knees, in prayer, worshiping God, in my car, in my shower, as I go, I'm going to begin to plant myself with the right people, with the right plan and the right steps and the right instructions, the wisdom of God's word, and I'm going to commit myself to be in the right place. Listen, the people you surround yourselves and the people that you look up to, listen, I'm not talking about forsaking the world or forsaking sinners. Jesus had a way of engaging with people who were lost and being a blessing to them, and he wasn't afraid. He spent time with sinners. And we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. We're not called to build a fortress of holy solitude and isolate ourselves from the world. We're called to engage. But the people who begin to influence your values and the people who begin to influence your faith, come on, they ought to be people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They ought to be people of God's word. They ought to be people who are planted in the house of God. Let me ask you a question. Are your friends connected more to your history or your destiny? And let's go through a little exercise here to just help us determine this. When you're around them, generally speaking, because here's the thing is all of us can have a bad day. All of us can have a bad day where we just kind of are battling a negative spirit or a critical spirit. But I'm talking about big picture. Big picture, when you're around them, generally speaking, do you feel inspired to grow your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel inspired? Do you feel encouraged? Do you feel strength rising? Do you feel courage rising in your life? Do you feel motivated to be better and to serve others? When you're around people, these are good things to just kind of begin to be aware of. Or when I'm around these people, do I feel empty? Do I feel tempted to something from my past or some area of sin? Or do I feel deflated or discouraged about my life and about God's call on my life and about who I am in God and about who God's called me to be and what he's called me to do? And listen, if you've been saved and God's called you out of some things, we got to make decisions. Oftentimes, our circle of friends is built on where we came from and not where we're trying to go. And you can't afford to maintain close relationships where people are influencing you if they're connected to your history and not your destiny. We got to start connecting to the right people. The right people, the right people, the right people, the right plan, and the right place. Listen, signs that you may need better friends. Signs that you might need better friends. You find yourself saying, I'll go with them and I just won't participate. When you're with them, listen, these are signs that you might need to rethink the people that you're most closely associated with. When you're with them, you hope that the people that you really care about, your family, your teacher, your professor, your pastor, you hope that they don't see you with those people outdoing what you're outdoing. If you have to compromise your own values or your desired values, what you're longing to be, what you're longing to become, what you're aspiring to pull into your life, if you have to compromise those things to maintain the relationship, you might need some different friends. You might not be with the right people. If you constantly feel drained, if they're just sucking the living life out of you, come on, don't be courageous to recognize something, to recognize that and begin to say, listen, there's either something's got to shift or change, or this has got to shift or change. These are just signs that you might need to just be wiser, to just ask God, Lord, grace me to be careful, to be mindful about those who I'm really closely associating with, those who I'm allowing to most closely influence and affect me. If you don't like the version of you that they bring out of you, you might need some different friends. If you think less of yourself after being with them because of their negativity or because of their fault finding or because of their lack of faith or their lack of hope, or even worse, because they belittle you with their sarcasm or they poke fun at you or they kind of just little jabs. Come on, how many know sometimes with friends like these, who needs enemies? The people that are very closest to you sometimes can be the ones that are kind of just poking at you and jabbing at you and reminding you about your failures and your past. Or listen, if your time together with your friends, with your people, listen, hear this morning, this is important. If your time together tends to drift to gossip, to criticism, to talking about others behind their backs, you might need to make a shift. Something, listen, something, if any of these things are true, something needs to shift or change, or you're going to have to make a shift or a change. Or else you'll look up and you'll continue to be more associated with your history than your God-given destiny. God has something for you, man of God. God has a place for you, woman of God. And he's trying to get you there. And I'm telling you, when you get there, God will deserve the glory. But he gives us clear understanding and a clear path that the people you associate with are influencing and affecting your ability to get there and the timing with which you'll get there. Bad company corrupts good morals. But he who walks with the wise becomes wise, God's word says. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. You need the right people. You need the right people. Listen, if people aren't speaking life over you, and if people aren't drawing the good and the God out of you, and if people aren't helping you to be filled with courage and filled with hope and filled with fresh faith for your future, come on, in your marriage, in your family, in the thing that God has called you to do and be and put your hand to, those are the kind of people, those are the kind of friends that we need to get around. Listen, I feel like I want to go there. I said it a moment ago, but if your friendship, if your time with those friends tends to kind of fall over here into the area of gossip or criticism or fault finding or poking fun or sarcastic comments about people, I just want to encourage you, beware. God's word says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. And I'm just telling you, it's the word of God. It's a command of God. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Have you ever caught that? According to their needs. In other words, even in the place where people have weaknesses, even when you could kind of all agree, yeah, that person does kind of bother me, or kind of, that person is a little weird, you know. That person is a little whatever, you know, you insert right there, like according to their needs. Like you might even be able to kind of come to a consensus that it's true. And the Bible says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But only the words that are helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I love the way the New Living Translation says that same verse. Don't let any foul or abusive language come out of your mouth. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Come on, look at your neighbor this morning and say, be an encourager. Look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and tell them the same thing. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only the things that are profitable for building people up in the midst of their own needs, in the midst of their own weaknesses. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Be an encourager to your spouse. Be an encourager to your coworkers. Be an encourager to your fellow church members. Be an encourager to your kids. Be an encourager. Now, I'm not talking about not being honest with people when they need direction or correction, because the Bible also says that faithful are the words of a friend, or the corrections or the rebukes of a faithful friend. And there's a time and there's a place. But you got to be careful. I just think there's a pattern that has helped me, that I've tried to live by, and sometimes I succeed and sometimes I stumble. But we ought to be making more deposits of encouragement into people than we are withdrawals of discouragement or withdrawals of even loving rebuke. I just think that there's a principle here, that if the tithe is 1 out of 10, like the first 1 out of 10, the first, giving God our first, blesses the rest. I just think there's kind of a reverse principle here, that if you'll be careful to say, I'm going to sow 9 good things. Come on, even if I got to work hard at it, to sow 9 compliments, 9 encouragements, 9 affirmations into the life of my wife or to my husband or to my kids or to my boss or whatever, whoever it is, it creates a blessing upon the one time that you have to speak up and say, hey, can I share something with you that really needs to change? Can I share something with you that really is affecting our relationship or has the potential to affect our relationship? But even when you share it, did you know that you can share the truth in love? We got to make deposits into people so that in those moments where we have to speak up and say something or speak up and address something, we've built them up, we've encouraged them, and there's relational equity and there's relational collateral. There's a deposit on hand that we can use to make a withdrawal. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Listen, as Christians, people ought to be better off because they've encountered you. People ought to be better off because they've encountered us. People ought to leave an encounter with you, and they ought to be better off. They ought to be better off. Come on, look at your neighbor this morning and say, I'm better off because of you. I'm better off. I ought to be better off because I've encountered you. I ought to walk away from an encounter with you feeling encouraged, feeling strengthened, feeling some kind of a sense of hope about my future and about my life. And just ask yourself this morning, is that the truth, and is that the case with you? We ought to be, people ought to be better off. Everything that we touch, everywhere that we go, as the people, as the men, as the women of God, called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered and endued by his grace and his spirit, we ought to leave it better off. The people in the places, come on, whether it's a campsite or a job site or a workplace or a person or a group of people, we ought to leave wherever we go better than we found it. Come on, if you believe it's true this morning about the call of God on our life, someone ought to say amen. Are people better off whenever they've encountered you? Are people more filled with hope for their future? Are they strengthened, even if they're going through a difficult season or a difficult time? The right people, come on, it's what we need, and it's who God's called us to be. These 4 men, they lifted their friend up. They did not allow him. They got to Jesus, and they could not get there because of the crowd, the Bible says. And they didn't allow him to stay stuck. They said, we're going to come up with the right plan. We're going to come up with the right plan. How many of you know, a lot of us might have gotten there and said, well, we tried. But they said, we're going up. We're going to another level. We got to get up. Before we can lay him down before the Lord and into the presence of God to receive the healing that God has in his heart to do for him, we're going to climb. We're going to climb. We're going to go higher. We're going to another level. We're going to a next level. That's the kind of people that you need in your life. People that stir faith in your life. People that stir the dream of God and the call of God and the destiny of God. Come on, there are seeds of destiny that are sown in every person, and it's a big destiny. It's a big calling. Come on, everything is big. The seemingly insignificant things, don't allow the enemy to call you or cause you to think that raising your kids is insignificant. It's a mighty call of God. And then the big things, leading and building and inspiring and reaching people that we tend to think about big. There's a big destiny that's on your life. And they said, we're not going to allow him to stay stuck in his situation. We've run into an obstacle here. It's not going the way that we think it's going to go. We're going to another level. We're climbing to another level. We're elevating our faith to another place. We're going to another dimension where we have access to the presence of God to see breakthrough in an area that we've been hindered for a long time. That's the kind of people that you need in your life. Come on, when you get around people, and that's the kind of person that we're called to be. When we get around people, we need some people who are speaking the word of God and speaking the call of God and affirming the hand of God upon our life, not letting us get stuck. And that's the kind of person that we need to be. They wouldn't allow him to stay in his current present day situation. They came up with a game plan. We need the right plan. They helped him to get to another level. God has a plan. Listen, you might be in that place where you've tried to get to God and you've run into a closed door and you've run into a crowd. And you say, well, I tried it, Pastor T, and I'm telling you, there's a right people that will help you to come up with the right plan. And some of you, God's brought you to this church. And come on, I'm not tooting my own horn. There's a lot of good churches and a lot of good preachers, but you need a preacher in your life who will preach unashamedly the word of God over your life, who will not hold back or hinder, or who will not placate to the masses and to what people want to hear to tickle their ears, but who will boldly preach and declare the fullness of God's word over your life. Come on, the plan of God for your life is found within this book. And you need people in your life. You need people in your life who will help to elevate you to another level, who will help to elevate you. Come on, there's two kinds of people, can-Godders and God-canners. And you got to be careful falling in with the can-Godders. Well, can God really do this? Can God really do this? Come on, you need to be with the God-canners. God can, God can, God can, God is, God will. They elevated their friend to another level. Come on, this is the kind of friends that we need, and it's the kind of friend that we are called to be. The company you keep matters. Come on, I've said it before, it bears repeating. It's hard to soar with the eagles when you're clucking around with the turkeys. It just is. And God has called you to soar. Come on, look at your neighbor again. Look, find someone close to you. Say, I'm soaring. I'm soaring on. I'm soaring with the eagles. I'm going to another level. I'm going to a new dimension. I'm getting with the right people. I'm finding the right plan. And I'm placing myself in the right place. The right place was the presence of Jesus. There were a lot of places they could have hauled him to. Come on, nothing wrong with any of these things. They could have taken him to the doctor. He had probably been there. Could have taken him to the chiropractor. He might have helped him some. The right place that the people in your life should be leading you to and challenging you to and calling you into an account to be in is the presence of God. I don't know what happened to this man that caused him to be a paralytic. I don't know what happened to you that caused you to get stuck in your faith, in your marriage, in your life, in your health, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, in the presence of Jesus, there's an answer, there's a solution, there's a healing, there's a help, there's an encouragement, there's a freedom, there's a breakthrough, there's fresh hope, there's fresh faith in the presence of Jesus. That's what all this is all about. The right people will be promoting and pushing and leading and charging and calling and encouraging you closer to Jesus. The right plan always involves, it always comes full circle to the presence of Jesus. The right place for this man was four friends enduring opposition to get him physically into the presence of God. I'm telling you, the right place for you in this season with whatever obstacle you're up against is the presence of Jesus. And God is calling us back. He's calling you back. He's calling you back to the place of prayer. He's calling you back to the place of his promises, which are his word. He's calling us back. He's calling you, young man of God. He's calling you back. He's calling you to the place of prayer. He's calling you back to your knees. He's calling you to begin to seek him like you maybe once sought him before, but you've just drifted. He's calling you to that place of seeking after him and saying, God, this thing that's held me back and hindered me for a long time in this season, because there's the right people speaking into my life, and because I'm see that your plan is better than my own plan and your plan is better than the world's plan, I'm hitting my knees and I'm getting in your word and I'm trusting you like I never have before. I'm trusting you like maybe I once did. The right place is always the presence of Jesus. Stand to your feet this morning, people of God, and let's worship team. If you go ahead and come up and prepare to help us to close in worship this morning too. Listen, I feel like I have faith for the entire room to respond, to just dedicate ourselves in a fresh and new way into this. And so, come on, if you're willing to respond this morning, say, Lord, what you've spoken this morning through this message and through this word, I want to respond to. I want to commit to, in a fresh way or a new way, being more connected to the right people, the people of God, and be connected to your word, which is your plan for my life and for my marriage and for my family and for my future. And you say, Lord, I've gotten out of position. I've allowed some things to cause me to become out of position. I've been busy. I've been distracted, whatever. I'm just affirming and determining that in this season, I want to be in the right place with the right people, seeking God's plan for my life. If that's you this morning, just lift your holy hands before God. And I'm lifting my hands. And Lord, I thank you for just stirring this fresh faith in us, God. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as we draw near to you, you draw near to us, God. And I thank you, Lord, that today, whatever it is that's held or hindered these precious men and women of God back from experiencing the fullness of what you desire for us to receive through godly friendships and godly relationships, or maybe, Lord, whatever's caused us to become busy or distracted and we've kind of become disconnected from your word, which is your plan, or busy or distracted from the places you've called us to be in our relationships, in our marriage. Come on, maybe the Lord's just reminding you're present in your relationships, but you're not fully engaged. Today, God's just stirring and reminding you to just kind of reconnect, re-engage, not just physically present in your marriage, but your heart once again leaning in to your relationship. Or for this church, God, if the enemy's constantly just trying to cause people to become divided in the church, Lord, and if there's people here this morning who have bought into the lie of the enemy of some kind of a perceived rejection or some kind of a hurt or a wound or an offense, Lord, thank you, God, this morning for healing it. There's some that can happen in a real way, and Lord, I thank you that you can also provide real healing to that so that people can experience a fresh and new season of relationship in your house, and we thank you for it today. And lastly, the most important thing I want to do is give you an opportunity to respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation. If you're here this morning and you'll say, Pastor T, I don't even know that I'm really part of the family of God. I don't know. I want what this is like, this relationship that you're speaking of with my Heavenly Father, and this relationship that you're speaking of with other people of God. But you're here today and you say, I'm really far from God, though. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God loves you so much, he sent his son to restore and reconcile you back into a relationship. And to do so, he washed away every sin, every shortcoming, every failure, all washed away, covered. The price was paid by the blood of Jesus, and now you receive it, and you enter into it freely. It's a gift of grace that we receive by faith. If that's you this morning, you're far from God, or maybe you've drifted from God, and you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, and today the Lord, your God, is calling you home. He's calling you home, and if that's you this morning, do not wait and do not delay. As quickly as you can, lift your hand high towards heaven and say, that's me, Pastor T. We're going to pray with you and for you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for these precious hands. And what the hands represent are hearts turning and returning back to God. Hearts turning and returning and being restored back to God. And we thank you, Lord, for it this morning. Come on, church, many precious people raising their hand and responding today. Let's pray with them today as a sign of our commitment to be these friends, to be these relationships, to encourage them and to strengthen them in this new season of fresh faith in their life. And come on, it's also good because it reminds us of our need for a Savior, that we never graduate from grace. So come on, with everything you have, pray it this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could not pay, to make a way that I might be made new, saved, healed, forgiven, restored to relationship with you, filled with your Holy Spirit, empowered to live by faith in Jesus' name. And come on, all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Can you put your hands together for Jesus and for those precious people? Come on, team, lead us this morning.